From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. We had the distinct pleasure of hosting the Electric Glen at Electric Forest 2014. It was a place where the Unce.com and American Music and Sound got together and allowed fans and artists alike to play around with the best new music technology from Zone, Reloop, Nord, and Studio Logic. I also got to yell like a psychedelic carnival barker at all the boys and girls passing by our tent, telling them to come to play with our toys. So that's on me. I also got the chance to talk to Zed's Dead, Zugma, Cosby Sweater, Soul Visions, and more. And today, I get to release the artist panel we did with the Monsters of Bass, Protohype, and Dirty Phonics. How do you know the difference between the two? Well, Protohype doesn't have a French accent. Enjoy Protohype and Dirty Phonics, recorded live in the Electric Glen at Electric Forest Festival 2014.
Can you guess what we'll listen to next?
Welcome to the Electric Glen, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Anand Harsh from theunce.com. We've got American Music and Sound putting this beautiful place together for us today. Reloop, Zone, Nord, we're giving away headphones all day. And ladies and gentlemen, right up front here, we've got the stars of tonight's show, Protohype and Dirty Phonics. Let's hear it, folks.
Yeah. Yay. Hey, guys.
Sounds like the first night was rough on you guys. We'll let you warm up. We'll let you get into it. There'll be shirtlessness. There'll be shirtlessness for sure.
What did you say? Who did I see last night? I got here like 10:30, really late. So I saw the end of Glitch Mob, and then I saw Zed's Dead, and then I went.
Did you like it?
To party, I liked it.
The Dirty Phonics and Zed's Dead collaboration.
There's no competing. There's no competing.
There's no dirtiness awards.
No what? Way. I'm a huge Zed's Dead fan. They were like, one of the few people, like one of the first people that got me into dubstep. So it was cool hearing, like, I was in the crowd the whole time, so it was cool hearing their fucking, like, all the old tunes that they did, and that really got me stoked on dubstep. So, well, they opened with the fucking In the Beginning, but that new Nero song is fucking awesome. Yeah, that one's fucking great.
Who is changing things in the bass game right now? Is it Nero still that's always going to come with it and bring it in this subsonic scene?
Yeah, I mean, Bass Nectar is great for sure. I think that I don't know. I think it's cool to see all like the young guys on the come up. Like, see those blog posts that where it's like all these like best DJs under 15 years old, and they're like all like way better than we are. So
who's the best DJ under 7?
Under 7, fucking ooh, kill him, ooh, kill him, Lil Terrio.
You guys were just at EDC Vegas. And, I mean, that's a scene. It's a scene and a half. How does it compare coming to see these crazies in the forest? Is it a completely different scene? Or are you seeing a lot of familiar faces? Is the forest somehow different than what they're doing out there in Vegas?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's fucking awesome. You know, 2 days ago, we're in the middle of the desert in Nevada. And, yeah, there's, like, this big-ass festival and the Speedway and, you know, the kind of production that, you know, Insomniac puts on. And then you fly out here, and it's a totally different environment, like, you know, different vibe. Obviously, some of the people are the same, and we've seen some familiar faces, as you were saying, but the vibe is totally different. It's awesome to, like, you know, kind of, like, jump from one to the other.
Yeah, it's actually the perfect balance. It feels great when you finally arrive here in the forest. You're like, holy fuck it, because Vegas is fun, but it's creepy as fuck and crazy, and I don't know, like.
There are far less prostitutes here, I've noticed. It's about half. It's about half as many hookers.
No more gambling.
See, just as many booties, though.
The booty's represented by the Midwest and the forest. Vegas can keep their booty. We got plenty of booty here in the Midwest. Thank you. We see all your booty out there.
Thanks, booty.
We're so happy about your booty.
There it is.
Midwest booty represents.
Oh yeah, we got some booty shaking back there.
Because it's straight up electronic music in Vegas, and you come here and there's so many jam bands and so many hip hop acts. Do you feel like that balance that you're talking about, being in the forest, being in this nice different environment, that balance actually helps the new fans come into the sound? I mean, if you're in Vegas all day, you're maybe going to be seeing a ton of DJs and sort of get burnt out towards the end of the day. But I got to imagine here seeing the bands during the day and then the DJs going hard at night. That's got to be the balance you're talking about.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, when we started, we played, in rock and metal bands. So obviously, we're familiar with that, analog environment. And then here you got the balance between, electronic and analog, and it's awesome. It's all about music and opening up to so many different sounds and genres. So it's great to be able to do both. And, you're like walking around here and chilling during the day, having a beer, whatever. And then at night you go at hard and rage.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like here you can actually lay down on the grass, listen to the old concert, to the old show,
smoke a joint,
and chill. Like good luck with that in Vegas on the concrete. Like
lay down in the middle of the field,
right?
Plus center stage, right up in front.
That's right.
Yeah, I just walked past like 50,000 people doing yoga, and that was pretty cool.
You don't get that in Vegas much, do you?
No, you don't. You just get.
Did you do some yoga this morning?
No, I just...
You should have.
Max was out there downward dogging it up. I saw him.
I was on the hunt for pasties. I hate that shit, honestly.
And
I haven't seen furry boots here yet, and I'm fucking stoked about it.
Oh, they're coming out tonight.
I saw a pair
when
of furry
the temperature
boots.
Drops.
Yeah, pick ones.
Damn when it. The temperature drops, yeah, they're coming out. Excuse us, Electric Forest fans, while we nerd out on metal for a second. Metal's maybe a little underrepresented in the forest, but I know you guys love metal out there. We had Umphreys going hard last night. That's about as close as we're going to get. But tell me, in the metal scene, who right now is really breaking new ground? Because I feel so detached from that scene. I don't know if you guys are still able to keep up with it, especially with so many acts trying to cross back over into the bass music scene and really adopting the sounds. Korn made the attempt to do that a couple years back and brought in a lot of the guys that you run with. And, I don't know who else is doing that right now and is doing it successfully, if at all.
I have no fucking idea. I'm still listening to Pantera, Slayer, fucking... I don't know, dude. Machine Head. Oh, I have no fucking idea. Sorry.
That's fine.
I honestly still listen to gangster rap, so I don't know what the fuck is going on in the metal world, to be honest.
Well, actually, we discovered this Japanese band recently called Maximum the Hormone, and it's not exactly...
That's the best band name I've heard all day.
It is. Dude, you should check the video clips. It's sick. But anyways, it's not exactly like a crossover between bass and metal, but there's like the same energy, and that's, kind of one of the things that brought us into this scene, because we found... Yeah, exactly. And we found the same kind of in-your-face raw energy. We just translated it with different instruments and sounds.
Absolutely.
But yeah, check out Maximum the Hormone.
That sounds perfect. Max, you were telling me that you came up on gangster rap. Listening back to it now.
But I don't look like... I look like a giant flower right now.
If I beatbox, will you rap?
These are his hippie clothes, actually. You should see him when he's real dark.
Yeah, I mean, I usually wear all black, but I figure it's the forest, so I'll wild out.
When you listen back to some of that gangster rap, it is super laid back, and those beats are actually surprisingly like down tempo.
Yeah, no, I mean, and when I say gangster rap, like, I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee, so like I fucking...
So you mean Kid Rock when you say gangster rap?
Like, I went to high school with Young Buck and like 3-6 and those guys, so like
nice.
Southern rap, like that's what I mean by gangster rap, not like Easy and shit, which I love, obviously, but
absolutely,
I still listen to like garbage Southern rap because I love it.
But decibel for decibel, your music is as heavy as metal. Was that sort of a transition for you, or did it speak to you when you were like, oh, we can go this hard with our beats?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, coming from hip-hop and then going to dubstep, it was cool to, like, be able to bring in, like, a heavier element, because, like, I love moshing and I love fucking going hard at shows. So it was cool to be able to, like, bring in some sort of metal aspects, even though I don't come from like a really metal background. But I mean, I love it, but I'm just not super familiar with it. But I love that's what gets the most energy, and like that's what I really like. So as long as it's high energy, it's cool with me.
You know, a couple of years ago in the forest, we were going harder than hell. And over the past couple of years, trap started making its way into the bass music scene. And now this year, we're hearing a ton of house from all the stages represented here at Forest. Are you guys house fans, or are you letting that sound seep up into what you guys are producing?
Totally house fans. I mean, we're from France, so definitely. Obviously we've been raised, you know, within that culture.
It's in your blood. It's in your DNA.
It is. Yeah, man. I mean, we're loving it, and it's great to see that it's actually coming back. You know, bringing different flavor to, you know, from what we've listened to when we were kids. It's like, you know, the new thing in 2014, and it's coming back. And it's great. I mean, we've actually started playing with some, you know, house beats ourselves. Don't expect them to come out, but we've been having fun with that for sure.
Yeah, and it's fun as like a dubstep producer or any sort of anything other than house to when you get stuck on a track or you're creatively blocked or something like that, to just work on a genre that you're really unfamiliar with as far as production comes. So it's fun to like work on house music. I play a bunch of house during my set. I mean, it's really fun to play, and the energy is so high. So
absolutely. For those of you coming in late, we've got Proto Hype and Dirty Phonics both playing tonight on the Tripoli stage. We're trying to explore the bass scene and see where things are going. And I'm wondering, because your fans are so rabid, do you feel, and because they're listening to so much different music, do you feel like when you go into the studio, you have the opportunity to do whatever you want? You don't feel like you have to be pigeonholed, like, shit, I have to go in here and I have to make a drum step track. Do you feel like you can do whatever you want? Or is it still a little bit of pressure?
Fuck pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, we all got into music because it's a fun thing to do, you know? So every time we hit the studio, it's all about, you know, jumping the computer or in the synth and, you know, jumping on whichever vibe you're feeling at the moment. And it doesn't matter if there's pressure. Say what?
Ableton or Logic?
Cubase.
Ableton. Ableton all day.
That was a nerdy smackdown. Just Cubase.
No, Cubase is fucking dope. I might switch to Cubase. I like it.
Do it.
You're fine. When you are in the studio and you're trying to decide whether or not you want to bring in another element, what's the collaboration process for you like? Do you get on your instant messenger and you just see who's awake at 4 a.m? You're like, finish my track.
Should we talk about our collab?
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
Oh, exclusive in the forest.
I mean, usually the way it goes, unless like I'm in LA, so it's really easy to just go over to like...
You throw a rock down the street and you hit a producer.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll like go to Borgor's house down the street or whoever the fuck, and or 12th Landon or Skrillex or whatever. But like when like working with the Dirty Phonics guys, we just work pretty much all over the internet. And it's awesome because we can just send stems back and forth. And it's the internet's been great for across the pond collabs.
And pornography.
And pornography. Of course.
The internet has many wonders, one of which is new music. Speaking of which, do you guys feel a pressure to follow the free model that a lot of artists are adopting with their music? Do you feel like your fans expect that there has to be some sort of free material that they can access? Or do you think that, you know, your fans get what you're trying to do, you know that you're trying to hustle and make a living doing this, and that your true fans will pitch in 99 cents for a tune, $1.29 for a tune, $5 for an EP. I wonder, you know, as we're at this sort of shifting influx landscape with the studios and with labels, where do you feel about free music? What do you think is Dude, important for your fans?
Music is free in general today. I mean, when you think about it, you're talking about buying a track for 99 cents. We used to go and buy records for one song. It was 10 euros back then. Mm-hmm. I'm talking like $14.
Sure.
So going online and spending 99 cents for a song is nothing.
Yeah.
And if you're really broke, you can fucking download it anywhere for free.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I like any of like my favorite artists, like, and friends that put out tracks that I like, I always buy their music because it's nice to support other people. And you know, it's really not that much money, and if you don't have the money, then whatever, download it for free. I don't give a fuck. You don't make that much money off selling music anyway. So Yeah, they get to see you live anyways, and they'll hear that shit, and they'll fucking rip it off the internet anyways. So you might as well fucking, you might as well not trip about selling music. I mean, most artists, like, to be real, make music off of shows and merch and stuff like that. Not that many people make, like, a shitload of money off of selling music. So I don't give a fuck. Like, when I'll put out fucking 4 EPs, and, like, I did 3 EPs for Firepower and, like, back to back to back. And they all charted and whatever, and I made, like, a small amount of money. And I would much rather, like, have someone, like, hijack it and download it for free and actually listen to it than decide not to pay for it, you know?
Well, and then come to the show. I mean, you know what? My parents have been listening to my music for years now, but they only came to one of our shows, last year.
Right.
And so my dad was on the front row and is, like, jamming to it. And after the show, he was like, dude, now I understand what you guys are doing, you know? It's, like, all about the power of the fucking bass. He's like, if I was 25 years younger, I'd be in that crowd moshing like a motherfucker. So, you know, that's what's up. There's, like, the music side and then the live element to it where you go out and you can feel the music and it's, like, full on in your face.
Yeah. So now that we've mentioned labels, which of you has the better boss? Datsik at Firepower or Steve Aoki at Dimmock? Who's the get it done boss? And Steve, who's going to leave you alone?
Steve's way more sober, for sure.
I don't know. Datsik handles his biz, for sure.
He knows how to get it done. He's got the right people in charge.
Yeah, but the cool thing about those two guys is that they leave us, like, total creativity freedom on what we do, and that's what's the most important thing, you know? There's no, like, going to label, and they're like, oh, you should be doing this or that.
Charlie, you got to make a house track!
I'll do that.
I know. That's more like my manager says that shit to me, not the label.
Get on the plane, Max.
Like, dude, you want to get on the main stage? You better fucking make some bullshit house music. Fuck that.
Tripoli stage is main stage enough for us. Dirty Fox on at 8:30. Max, Proto Hype on at 5:30.
Yeah.
Give it up for these guys. We're going to be here all weekend giving away headphones. Come play with the gear. Come say hi to the guys. Thank you so much for visiting the Electric Glen here at theunce.com. American Music and Sound, Alan Heath, Reloop, Electric Glen. Hang out, people. Come say hi.
Thanks, guys.
That's our episode for this week. Thanks for joining us on the Unce podcast. We will have our panels with Cosby Sweater, Zugma, Aaron from the Disco Biscuits, Golf Clap, and more from the Electric Glen at Electric Forest Festival 2014. Special thanks go to Paul Aquiano, Connie Chow, and Gabrielle LaFera with Little Empire, as well as Nate Schoenfeld with Warpath. And a big thanks goes out to American Music and Sound for assembling the Electric Glen with us, as well as Electric Forest Festival for having us out. We'll catch you next week.